Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening. Well, I don't know if you've ever had a day like this, but Tuesday, I woke up from my daughter opening the door and saying, "Dad, I have to go to work. I needed to take her to work." Inevitably, I had set my alarm on my watch to p.m. instead of a.m. And so I frantically got up, and I don't know if you've ever had those moments where you get up and you're just, oh, and you're running out the door, and I go to the car, and the car wouldn't start. And I thought, oh, no. So I grabbed another car, my wife's car, and took my daughter to work and came back home. And I noticed that I needed to put something in our shed. And so I went out to the shed, and someone had left the key in there, and it had gotten bent. And I pulled it out, and I think because of the frozen cold, it snapped off in the lock. And I thought, oh, no. Okay, fine, whatever. I come back inside, and I think, you know what I need? I need my morning coffee. I don't know how many of you guys need that. And so I went to the coffee pot, and guess what was not working? The coffee pot. It didn't have coffee in there. I didn't know where the coffee was. I'm one of those just men that can't take care of himself, and I had no idea where the coffee was or how to get it going. And I thought, oh, I can't believe this. I finally got dressed, took a shower, went out to the other car, and went to the car and looked at it and recognized that it was out of gas. And I thought, you know what? I should just go back to bed. Today is not going to be a good day. I don't know if you've ever had days like that where you just felt like you had no peace, where everything is chaotic and nothing is going the way it's supposed to. We actually had one of those mornings like that here this morning. We prepare things during the week. We check things, some things that aren't working right. And inevitably, we come in on Sunday morning and we fire up all the equipment and something isn't working. And we don't know why. No peace. Have you ever just said, I want some peace? I want some peace and quiet, maybe in your house this time of year. Maybe after the chaos of a long day, or the kids crying, or dishes piling up, or emails flooding in from work on your day off, you're fantasizing about escaping and going away and having some peace and quiet. Why, I read a story this week about a facility that opened up a couple years ago in South Korea called The Prison Inside Me. And this facility was started by a prosecutor. And he was feeling so overwhelmed in his life, and his wife was complaining about him just not being peaceful. And so he had an idea. He said, you know, sometimes I just need to get away from it all. So he opened up a place where people can pay $90 for 24 hours in solitary confinement. No phones, no distractions, just silence. How many of you, that sounds like a great $90 spent? Yes. And some of you are thinking that is the biggest waste of money ever. For $90, you get a uniform, kind of like a prison uniform, a yoga mat, a very small cell, a simple meal, and you can experience total peace and quiet. There are people who often leave that, and this article that I read that said, I feel like the real prison I'm returning to is my own life. And I get it. We all long for those days just when things are peaceful, when things are going smoothly, when nothing breaks, when no one's yelling, when there's not a frantic to-do list. But we're looking for something deeper than just quiet and solitude, especially during the holidays, when life can feel more like a storm than a celebration. I know that many of us feel trapped within our own lives, our own busyness, our own worries, our own expectations that others have of us or that we might have of ourselves. Now, as we mentioned last week, we started the Advent season. And we talk about waiting for the arrival of the coming King. We celebrate the first Advent when Jesus was born, when Jesus stepped down into our dark world from heaven and made a way for us to experience peace, as we're going to see today. But we eagerly await the second advent when God will come again. Last week, we talked about a little devotional guide that we have for families to be able to do together with your kids or even with your spouse, with your small group maybe. And we ran out of those. I want to let you know we have more of those at our resource center. And so if you'd like to pick one of those Advent devotional books up, you can do that after service at our resource center, which is right out the doors and to the right as you make your way down our children's ministry hallway. But there are some examples of the things that we do when we're struggling with not feeling peace. Maybe as parents, you're overwhelmed with all of your kids' schedules this time of year. I know this is the time I go up on Facebook and I see concert after concert and program after program and all these different things that we have to do, and maybe you just feel overwhelmed and you don't feel peaceful. Or maybe it's something more than just your schedule. Maybe you're dealing this Christmas with the loss of a loved one. And you just don't feel this sense of peace. You're wrestling with that, wanting to experience Christmas with them and knowing that this will be the first time you'll experience Christmas without them. Or maybe your job just kicks into high gear during this time of year and you feel overwhelmed with the pressures of your job. Maybe it's navigating families. Many of us spend more time with our families in the holidays, and we say that's a blessing, but for many of us, it brings with us a lack of peace and sometimes conflict. Well, this time of year, more than any others, our minds go to one of the most famous passages in the Bible that talk about peace. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of," say with me, "peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that day on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you sent your son to be the Prince of Peace. And Lord, I pray this morning as we look a little bit deeper at this second word in our Advent series, peace, that we would be open to hear what you have for us, Lord. Lord, for those of us who walked in this room today and we are not feeling peaceful, I ask that this morning you would draw us in to your perfect peace. God, that we would leave here recognizing the peace that you give us, that you offer to us, Lord, that we would take it, that we would seize it, that we would use it in our lives so that we could further your kingdom, so that we could be your light to the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, last week we looked at hope and how foundational it is that we have hope. Because if you remember, without the anchor of hope, we can't have peace, love, or joy, the other words in our Advent collection. We saw that hope is one of those words that can have different meanings, right, depending on the context and how it's used. And the hope of the Advent season, or what we understand as biblical hope, is not hope question mark, if you remember that from last week, but hope period. It's not a question of whether we'll have it, it's hope period. And peace is also one of those words that can have different meanings to us. Peace can mean an inner feeling or an emotion. Or sometimes it's a lack of chaos, like the opposite of what I was feeling that Tuesday when I woke up and had all those strings of things happen to me. Or it can mean a calmness and a clarity that you might experience when you spend one of those nights in that peace prison. We certainly recognize when we don't feel at peace. We say things like, "I just want some peace and quiet. I just want things to slow down." We often think of peace as the absence of conflict. If there's no fighting, then we're at peace, maybe within our families or with nations, with the world. And as every beauty pageant contestant knows, we're supposed to wish for world peace, right? The ending of wars and fighting. And all those are appropriate uses of the word peace, but all of those views of peace view peace as a feeling. And something that happens to us that's actually beyond our control. But as we're going to see today, biblical peace is something that is available to us that has nothing to do with the outside circumstances around us. And maybe now more than ever, we are desperate for peace. We just went through a political season, and I know one thing I wanted was peace. Maybe the constant chaos of prepping for the holidays, or getting the perfect Christmas gift for someone, or frustrations with your travel plans, or the holiday season, just the hubbub that happens there. This season, a time that these words of Advent should be the most prevalent in our lives, are often the times when it's just something we see on a card, or a sign, or a song that we sing, but it feels miles away from our hearts and our minds. So what is this peace that we read about in Isaiah? The definition of peace, when the word peace is used in the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word shalom. It's an amazing word. We don't use that word very much today, but it's shalom. And it's more than just the absence of conflict or confusion or noise or a peaceful, easy feeling. It's actually not a feeling at all. That's why so many of us feel this lack of peace. I'm going to suggest this morning that the reason that we don't feel peaceful is because peaceful is not a feeling. The kind of peace that we're searching for is often an emotional peace. An emotional peace is temporary. But shalom actually means wholeness or completeness. Shalom, and the word that we find in the New Testament for that, Irene, encompasses all that is good. The Hebrews actually sometimes use this word shalom in place for good, or their word tov. So are we experiencing shalom, completeness, wholeness in our lives? When we think of peace, we think of something that is dependent on our circumstances. Maybe it's your finances, or your job situation, or your relationship status. For some of us, it's a clean house, right? We just can't feel at peace until things are in order around us. But no matter how clean our house is or how big our 401k is, we'll never have peace if we're searching for an emotional peace. If you look at the definition of shalom as wholeness, you can only experience true, lasting shalom when you're complete. And that is the journey that each and every one of us is on every day. You might not recognize it. You might not get up in the morning and think this way, but you are trying to feel complete. The things that we fill our lives with, the good things and the bad things, are our attempt to try to create shalom in our lives. We make it our mission to find it. We look for peace or completeness in our relationships, in our possessions, in the way our bodies look, through escapes, through vacations, through drugs, through hobbies, through pornography, through friendships, the good and the bad. We're looking for ways to complete us, to experience shalom in our lives. But it doesn't last because we're chasing the wrong kind of peace. We want to be made whole, complete, to experience shalom. Not the feeling of shalom, but to know we are complete. There was a time in human history when we as humans experienced perfect shalom. It was in the garden, all the way back in Genesis. Adam and Eve experienced shalom, completeness, wholeness. But then sin entered the picture. In the beginning, there was peace, but since then, God put into motion a plan to restore that peace, that wholeness. Walter Brueggemann has a quote. He says, "The vision of the shalom, the flourishing, the wholeness and delight, is the central vision of the Bible." This is what Jesus came to do. This is the plan that God put into place that we celebrate during this Advent season for us to experience shalom. So this season, I want us to look at two kinds of peace. The first is peace with God. Peace with God. See, peace with God is a gift. It's not something that you achieve. It's not something that we receive, or it's not something we achieve. It's something we receive. And we receive this through Jesus Christ. Peace with God is not something you can do. And it's not something you can find, at least on your own. It's a gift given to you. Peace with God. It's something given to you. Romans chapter 5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have," and there's our phrase, "peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See the coming of Christ, Jesus born in a manger. The angel's proclamation in Luke 2 was God saying, let me complete you. I can do this. I can give you true, lasting peace, shalom, completeness, wholeness. I have come to bring peace. On that Christmas night, God made a way for you and I to experience shalom with him. And how did he do that? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 says, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, when sin entered the picture, there was no longer shalom. There was actually a war. There was extreme conflict within ourselves against God. And Jesus went to war with sin so that we could have peace with God. We were at war with God. That's what our sin, our rebellion is, war with God. And from that choice that Adam and Eve made in the garden, our relationship with God has been broken. We were cut off from being complete the way that God originally intended it. And in our brokenness, God sent his son to make peace between us and him. This is the plan that we see throughout the Old Testament and the plan that came to fruition when Jesus came as a baby born in a manger and lived and died and defeated the grave, won the war. But we can't do this on our own. When we're separated from God, we are what Scripture often calls wicked, right? We don't like to use that phrase, but when we're at war with God, we are wicked people. And all throughout Scripture, Isaiah says several times, there is no rest or peace for the wicked. Apart from God, you and I, we can't experience shalom, no matter how much we might try to manufacture it, no matter how many things we might try to fill this gap to feel whole. We can't be whole. We can't be complete. We can't have peace apart from God. Peace with God is what we talk about when we use the word justification. We had a message several months ago about the word justification. And if you're interested to find out more about what this word means, you can find it on our website. Hit the teaching button and just type in under the subjects justification. You can pick that one, and there's a message there that talks about how we were made justified, how we were made right, how God ended this war between us and him. So if we have peace with God through being made right with God, then why do I still feel so restless? I know that I have peace with God. I've been justified. The war between God and I has been dealt with through Jesus on the cross. But I don't feel at peace. Not the way I should. I have moments where I do. You might have moments as well. But more often than not, full transparency, I don't feel at peace. I feel restless. Why do I feel so anxious? Why do you feel so anxious? We know that we've received peace with God. We've accepted that gift, not something we can earn. It was a gift given to us. So if I have peace with God, and if you have peace with God, why do I not feel at peace? Because there's a second kind of peace. The second kind of peace is the peace of God. This is the peace of God, and peace with God is given to us. But peace of God, the peace of God is grown in us. The peace with God is given to us. There's nothing we can do to earn that peace, to be worthy of that peace. But the peace of God is something that grows within us. It's the Holy Spirit working in us to grow peace, the peace of God in us. See, we're given a present in the peace with God. Peace with God is given to us as a present, not something we earned, not something we deserve. It's just a gift that's given. But the peace of God is a different kind of presence. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we are given that gift when we receive peace with God, but the peace of God has to grow within us. And my peace of God is still growing. Because that kind of peace doesn't come naturally to most of us. The peace of the world is temporary and based on circumstances, but the peace of God is lasting. And it's independent of what's happening around us. I know that this is an area that I need to grow in. And maybe you do too. So again, I know intellectually I have received peace with God. I feel it in my heart. I know that I have peace with God, but I don't feel the peace of God as much as I should. So I want the Holy Spirit to continue to grow that within me. It's part of the other word we use called sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Peace with God is given to you, but the peace of God is grown within you. Now, I know that this is a tough season for many of us. Maybe it's your first Christmas without a loved one or a friend. It's your first Christmas without a child. Or you're having your first Christmas alone without a spouse. Because there was not shalom. Because things were not complete in your life. There are conflict. There are all sorts of things that make this season difficult. And I don't want to take away any of that pain. It's real. From the silly things that happen to us on a Tuesday morning when our car won't start and our shed key breaks and the coffee pot doesn't work and you sleep through your alarm, to those deep, meaningful tragedies that we're going through that we just feel like is robbing our peace, all of those are legitimate. But I want you to hear something. Peace is not the absence or the presence of problems or pain. That doesn't determine your peace. J. Oswald Sanders said, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God." The presence of God growing in your life, the Holy Spirit growing within you. That's how you experience true peace of God. God in the person of Jesus Christ came to bring shalom, came to bring completeness. So we know what life looks like when we don't experience the peace of God. But what would it look like if we let the Holy Spirit work within us to grow the peace of God in our lives? Scripture actually gives us a taste of this in Philippians chapter 4:7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." It's a lack of peace. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In every situation, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to grow within you the peace of God. And it says right in that verse, it surpasses all understanding. There is no reason why we should feel the peace of God given all of the things going on in our lives. It doesn't make sense, and that's the point. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we can manufacture, that we can create, that no matter what we do in our lives, we can't have that on our own. It has to be grown within us. The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think there's a reason that says, well, guard your hearts and minds, because the war between us and God has already been won, peace with God. But the war between myself and my desires and my need to try to make my own shalom, that's still happening. And that's going to happen until Christ comes again. And so I need to guard my heart and mind, to not let those things rob me of the peace of God. William Barclay wrote these words. He says, "In the Bible, the word for peace, shalom, never means simply the absence of trouble. It means everything which makes for our highest good. The peace the world offers us is the peace of escape, the peace that comes from the avoidance of trouble and the refusing to face things. The peace that Jesus offers, the peace of God, is the peace of conquest. No experience of life can ever take it from us, and no sorrow, nor danger, no suffering can ever make it less. It is independent of outward circumstances. The Holy Spirit growing the peace of God within you is how you can know people who have such a sense of peace, even though they just lost a loved one, even though their job situation is in turmoil, even though the world around them seems to be falling apart. I firsthand experienced an amazing example of the peace of God when my wife was battling cancer, watching her living out that peace, so peaceful, not enjoying the process of what was happening, but being at peace, the peace of God within her heart. And I want that for you, and I want that for me as well. No matter what circumstances we might be facing, that we would grow, the Holy Spirit would grow within us the peace of God. But this peace isn't something that you'll find on your own. We need help. Jesus said these words in John chapter 14. He says, "All of this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." That's sanctification. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." What keeps us from receiving both peace with God and the peace of God? There's a word that often appears. I lost count of how many times throughout Scripture as I went through this. When I read the word peace, there's another word that seems to almost always accompany it. And it's the word fear. There's something about peace and this pursuit of peace that brings with it, if we're on the wrong track, fear. We're afraid. We're afraid that we're not going to be good enough, or we're afraid that we haven't done enough to receive the gift of peace with God. We're afraid that things aren't going to work out. The orchestration we're trying to do in our lives isn't going to pan out the way it is. We're afraid, and so we don't experience the peace of God. And the reality is, you're not good enough, and I'm not good enough. None of us have done enough. Romans tells us we've all fallen short of the glory of God. However, our God is gracious, and he is good. He wants us to experience shalom, completeness, and he gives good gifts to his children. We don't need to be afraid. Maybe it's the fear we have of death, that I don't feel at peace. I don't feel peace about my life. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I feel afraid. That's a lack of peace with God. We can know that peace. We don't know if things are going to work out exactly how we want them to in life, and so we live with a sense of a lack of peace. The peace of God. Peace with God is a gift given to us, but the peace of God is something that grows within us. One of my most favorite Bible passages growing up, and many of you guys, this is one of your favorites too, is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, right? "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Do you know what this word prosper actually is in Hebrew? Shalom. Completeness. Not prosper like we think of, like everything's going to work out great. We're going to win the lottery. No one's ever going to get sick. Life is going to go the way that we want it to. Here, in the midst of what the Israelites were facing, If you know the context of this passage, the Lord is saying, I have plans to give you shalom, peace, completeness. Are you one of those people that's hard for you to buy a Christmas present for? Like you just have everything. You don't know what you need. Someone asks you what you're for Christmas, you say, I don't know. No matter who you are or how much you have or don't have, whether you've been naughty or nice, no matter your past, we all need the gift of peace with God. And the good news is it's already there underneath the tree waiting for us to accept it. And once we accept peace with God, then we can experience the peace of God. So I want to leave you with two challenges. First, that you would accept the gift of peace with God. If you haven't accepted this gift, it's waiting for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, peace with God is available through the blood of Jesus Christ. And how do you accept this gift? You recognize you need it. You recognize that you're not complete, that you don't have peace, you don't have shalom, and you ask for forgiveness for the war that you've been waging against God. And then you trust in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and you receive the gift of peace with God, being made right with him, salvation. And for those of us who have already accepted the gift of peace with God, we aren't at war with God anymore, but we're still in a battle. And there are days when this fight goes better than others. There are moments when I win, and there are moments when I lose, sometimes all in the same day. But there is hope. The hope that we talked about last week, the hope, the anchor of Jesus Christ in our lives, that allows us to have peace with God. And when we open that gift, we are opening a gift that keeps on giving. It's the Holy Spirit working within us, growing you, growing me, to become people whose lives are more filled with the peace of God. When we accept the gift of peace with God, we're given his Spirit. And that doesn't mean that I immediately feel shalom and everything is perfect, because I have to do the second challenge. I have to cultivate, I have to grow the peace of God within me. For those of us who have already accepted peace with God, the journey isn't over, because we know that life still brings things our way. Life still brings battles, but we have hope because the Holy Spirit works in us to grow peace. So what are some practical steps that you can take to grow, to cultivate the peace of God within you? We read it in Philippians 4. Bring your worries to God and thanksgiving. Don't be afraid to bring the moments that you feel like you don't have peace, bring it to God, lay it before him, and give thanks for what you do have. And something amazing happens when we do that. The Holy Spirit starts to work within us, and we begin to feel a sense of peace. Now, that feeling is going to come and go, but we can grow the peace of God that allows us to face any circumstances if we go to him with thanksgiving. Bring your worries and your cares with thanksgiving, and ask for the Holy Spirit to grow the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding within you. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, there's a stanza that's repeated over and over again. Come, Lord Jesus. And you might have been in situations where you've said, Lord, please come into this place or come into my heart. And the reality is we know that God will never leave us or forsake us, right? But that's an invitation for us, saying, Holy Spirit, grow within me peace. He's always there. But sometimes we have to say, Lord, I'm ready for it. He's always there, but we don't always recognize him. We're in this season where there's all these political appointees happening and different people being appointed to different cabinets and positions. And recently, there's been some peace ambassadors put in place. And I want to encourage all of us to try to be peace ambassadors. When we live with the peace of God, we stand out in the world of anxiety and division, and people notice, and it points them to Jesus. See, when we live out the peace of God with each other, we fulfill his command in Matthew chapter 5 to be salt and light. When we live this way, we can't be hidden. We're a city on a hill. The person with the peace of God stands out in a world full of anxiety and troubles and division and fear. If your life is marked by more than fear, more by fear than peace, the Lord invites you to draw close. If your life is marked more by division than peace, the Lord invites you to draw near. If your life is marked more by worry than peace, the Lord invites you to lay it all down at his feet, to experience shalom. If you want to experience peace with God this morning, if you recognize, I've never made that decision, I've never given my life to God in that way, I've never said, Lord, I want to have your peace. I want you to make me right. I want to turn away from my sin and accept the free gift of salvation. I encourage you to do that today. If you want to learn more about what that would look like, we have a prayer room over here to the side. We'll have people in here after service that would love to help you take that next step. Or if you'd like to talk more about what your life could look like free of anxiety and worries, what it could look like for you to experience more of the peace of God. Maybe you need, like I need, prayer for that. I encourage you to go to the Father and ask. And I want to ask a special thing, a request of all of you, that you'll pray for me, that the peace of God would grow within my spirit, that the Holy Spirit would grow within me the peace of God, the peace which transcends all understanding. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of peace with you through Jesus. And God, I ask that you would help us to grow the peace of God in our lives through your Spirit. In a world full of fear and chaos, let us be people who shine your peace to everyone around us. May the world see those of us here at Seymour Christian as people who are living with the peace of God in their lives. Regardless of their situations, Lord, help me to grow in this area. Help me to grow with the peace of God in my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church together said, amen.